Well, good morning to all of you. Greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a privilege to be here. It's been a while since I've shared, and I felt a little stretched this time in preparing. Didn't feel like I had as much time as I would have liked to have. But God is faithful, and so we'll trust him here today with all of that. Maybe we could just bow our heads and have a word of prayer here before we begin. Oh Lord, our eternal God, we do come before you here this morning and thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you. Thank you for your presence here with us and thank you for the things that you've spoken to our hearts already and about the choices that we make and about how we hear your word and listening and receiving counsel in our lives. And Lord, you know the burden that you've laid on my heart here this morning too. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to make these things clear. Pray that you would guide my thoughts. Help me to make these things easy to understand. And Lord, that you would just work in all of our hearts, Lord. I do believe that it's a desire of most of our hearts here, all of us, there's a desire to serve you and to walk with you. And Lord, we want to draw closer to you in our lives. And so I pray that you would just speak to us from your word here this morning. And would you inspire all of us together and just as we seek you. So we commit this time into your hands. We ask that you would be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll write the title here on the board. You can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3 for read a verse there. First Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. I came across this verse probably a month and a half ago in my personal reading, and as sometimes happens for us, the verse really jumped out at me. It grabbed my attention, and I've been pondering it a lot ever since. And so I'd just like to share a bit this morning on some of that. There was a phrase there that caught my attention. And I know this is nothing new, but if you're like me, I need to be reminded. I forget, and I need to be reminded and encouraged again in these things. So, with the Lord's help, that's what I'd like to do here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." And I did just a little bit of study on that phrase, no open vision, and it appears like they could read and hear the word of God, but it didn't really talk to them in a general sense. It didn't really work in their lives. And so the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Now, obviously, this is Old Testament, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit as we know it today, but there was something here that made the word of God precious. And so I just like to, this morning, just to remind us, to encourage us, to give us maybe some exhortation or whatever it is that we need, and have us ask ourselves the question, is the word of God precious in my life? And is it affecting me? How do I know that it's precious? When you think of something that's precious to you, so think of something that's precious to you, how do you treat that? It sort of takes priority, right? you tend to put a lot of focus on it. You put a lot of emphasis there. And I realize that, you know, in some of these things, we also have to be balanced. I mean, we live here on this earth. We need to work to provide for our families and all those things. But where is the Word of God as being precious in our lives? A couple verses here. There's one here in Matthew. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you hunger and thirst for, here it says righteousness. I think we could put the Word of God in there. You know, the Word of God is righteousness. It is that instruction to us. Matthew chapter 13, and a couple of verses there, 44 to 46, says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So you have two examples of one, the first one of a treasure that's hid somewhere in a field that most people don't know that it's there, but somebody discovered it, and he says, "I gotta have that." And so he does whatever it takes to get that. Same thing with this merchant man. He found one pearl of great price. It's right here. It's God's Word. It's a treasure. It's a pearl of great price. How is it in our lives? And I just have to confess that as I was studying for this, I found myself falling short. And I just felt like God really worked in my own heart. You know, what is my attitude? How important is His Word to me? I just recognize that there's a need for more of this in my own life. I do have an example here of someone who did not have a very high regard for the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 36, you can turn there. We'll read a number of verses. This is talking about the king, and let me get his name here. It's Jehoiakim, was king of Judah. And Jeremiah had written a lot of things that God had spoken to him. And it was judgments and things for the children of Israel because they had turned away from him. What I'd like to read here, I'm just going to break in verse 22. Baruch, Jeremiah's scribe, had taken the role, and he had written all these things that Jeremiah had pronounced to him, and then he had taken this and read it to the people. And then there was some of the princes there, and they heard it, and they said, "Well, you need to read this to the king." So he came, and they took the book, and one of them took it and was reading it to the king. And this is the king's response. And think about this with me. This was God's word. This is still back in the Old Testament, and just a span of time before this, the word of the Lord was precious. So now look what happens here. It says, "Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel the son of Hamalek and Sariah the son of Azrael and Shelemiah the son of Abdil to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the words which Baruch wrote. The former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast burned this roll, saying, Why hast thou written therein, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him, and his seed, and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. And God brought very distinct judgment on this man who despised the word of God and burned it. He said, why did you write this stuff? I don't like it. Get rid of it. He had no value for God's word. It was not precious to him at all. And there's many more that we could look at, but I just wanted to point that out to us. You know, that was something I thought about as I was preparing, that of an example of a man who directly despised God's word, didn't want anything to do with it. All right. I wasn't sure what order to put some of these things in, so bear with me. I trust that it's not too scattered for you, that you can follow along. I'd like to look at some things here in the Old Testament where the children of Israel did study the Word of God. They appreciated it. They wanted to hear what it had to say. So here, Moses in Exodus 24, I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture. I have a lot of references here, but I'll just give you some of these. Exodus 24, verse 7, this is Moses. He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, All that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. So they had an open heart to hear what God had to say, and this would have been several chapters after God gave them the Ten Commandments and instructions for coming into the promised land. And so they said that they will be obedient. Deuteronomy 31, verses 11 to 13. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. So here's specific instructions for us to read God's word to everyone, but especially to our children, and teach them God's word. And it says why? It says that they may learn to fear the Lord your God. So by reading the word of God is how we teach our children the fear of God. Here's another example of what reading the word of God can do and how it can, the effect that it has on people. 2 Chronicles 17, 9-10, it says, And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. There was some widespread teaching of God's word. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. And this was in one of the times of Judah turning their hearts back to God. They went and they taught God's word to the people. And the result was the nations round about were afraid to make war with them. It's amazing what happens when God's word is taught and the people read it. They loved it. There was a safety and a protection that they got. In Nehemiah. I want to read a number of verses there, chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. And here, I was amazed. It's describing a Bible study. Starting in verse 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday." So they spent half of the day reading God's word. "Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana and Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akkub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading." So there was a reading of God's word here, and then there was all these men that were listed, they were standing around here, and I don't know how they did this all, but they helped the people understand what God's word was saying. And they were very attentive, it says, to hear. The people were. And by the way, this was in the Old Testament that they were doing this. I found that inspiring, that already, before they had the Holy Spirit to put these things into their hearts to help them understand, there was a desire of the people to learn and to hear God's word. And you, as we go through these things, I found it helpful to ask myself the question, so how is the word of God to me? Is it that precious? As we hear these different examples, how is it in my heart? Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 20, it says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And when thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates." Coming back to what I read earlier about why we teach our children the Word of God, here's how often we're supposed to do that. And to me, this doesn't really sound like there's any time that we're not doing it. It's when we're sitting in our house, when we're walking by the way, we're going through our life, when we're lying down, when we get up, write them upon the doorposts of our house. As soon as you come in, you see it. And on your gates. When something is precious to us, it seems like our children know what those things are. They do. They know us pretty well. And so it can be a multitude of different things. Sometimes we get our priorities a little off, and maybe our work kind of takes a little too much priority. Or it can be, different hobbies and things that we have, and you can think of what those things might be in your life and put them in there. The things that we do that that takes away time that we should spend in God's Word. And here was something that a challenging thought for me was just, you know, is God's Word precious enough in my life that if someone were to ask my family, the people that I'm close to, what would they say? Would they be able to say that, yeah, the Word of God is precious to him? Or would they say, he likes his work a lot, or what would they say? People know. Do your friends know it? You know, if something isn't a part of your life, it's difficult to teach it to someone else. But the more it's a part of your life, the easier it is to make it a pattern and to teach others as well. You know, so if you make something a part of your life, it's much easier to teach it to others. I'd like to read you a quote, and then I'm just going to list a whole bunch of things here that the Word of God is, and I'm sure there's much more that could be said, but here's a little quote that I want to read to you. The story is told of a young man who was preparing for a long trip. He told his friend, "I'm just about packed. All I need yet is a guidebook, a mirror, a microscope, a lamp, a telescope, a volume of fine poetry, a package of old letters, a few biographies, a book of Psalms, a sword, a hammer, and a set of books I've been studying." "But you can't fit all that in," said his friend. "Oh, yes, I can," he replied. "It doesn't take much room." With that, he placed his Bible in a corner of his suitcase and closed the lid. You just think about some of those things. A guidebook, a mirror, see yourself, a microscope, small things, it makes them plain, a lamp, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, a telescope, things that are far away, it makes them easy to see, a volume of fine poetry, a package of old letters, a few biographies. There's stories of men in the Bible who walked with God that could inspire us. A book of Psalms, there's a sword. The Word of God is quick and powerful, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Even the doctors will tell you that they can't, when they look at a bone, they can't decide where the bone ends and the marrow begins. But the Word of God can. It's amazing. All right, so let's look at a little list here of things that I have scriptures for some of them. I didn't have time to do it for all of them. But I'd just like to read to you a bunch of things here that the Word of God is. First of all here, and they're in alphabetical order, so they're not necessarily in order of importance or anything. But first of all here, it's comforting. God's Word is comforting to us. And at some point here, I would like to read through Psalm 119. As I was preparing that, there was just many of these things I'm going to say had references to that. And so I think I will just take some time then after a little bit here and go through all of that. And there's some other things that I'll point out to you as well. So the Word of God is comforting. It is the delight of the righteous. Job 23, verse 12, he said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I was really challenged with that verse. So when, you know, have I ever skipped a meal because maybe I got up late and I need to leave quickly and get to work? And have I ever skipped a meal so that I can read and study God's Word? I know how I tend to do. If I get up late, I tend to, you know, quick grab a bite and rush out the door into my day. That's my tendency. God help us. Job here, he says that he esteemed the words of his mouth more than his necessary food. Obviously we have to eat to live. But Job put God's word at a higher priority even than food. All right, so the word of God is edifying. Acts 20, verse 32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." In Romans 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." So here it gives us a purpose for God's word. And that's under the heading of being edifying. God's word is effective. Isaiah 55 and verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So if we speak God's word into someone's life, it will not return void, even though we may never see the results of those things. I know I found that a blessing, you know, in my interaction with people. There's been opportunities that I've had to share the word of God with them. And sometimes you see results and sometimes you don't. But the promise is that if we do those things, it won't return void, even if we don't always see the results right away. Here's another really important one, is that the word of God endures forever. There's no other book, there's no other word that is going to endure forever like God's word. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Mark 13, 31, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And there's a couple verses there in Psalm 119 that we'll get to as well. So then here's just a list. I just have a bunch of headings here. The word of God, it's full of hope. It's full of joy. It's inspired by God. There's various places that you can find that. Peter says that the word came by holy men of God speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I forget, what is it? It was written over a period of 1,300 or 1,600 years by 66 different men, I think it was. I didn't look up my numbers, but it was a lot of different men over a wide period of time. But as you read through the Word of God, you can see that there's connection in the beginning. And in the end, there's a continuity clear through it. That only comes because it's inspired by God. The Word of God is life-giving. It gives us life. We follow its principles. It's a living Word. It affects our lives. God's Word should be loved by His people. It's a part of the Christian's armor. Our defense. It's perfect. Perfect. It's powerful. It's praiseworthy. God's word is restraining. It helps us to bring under our flesh. We don't have to live and walk after our flesh. It's restraining. It's revered. It's sanctifying. You think about that mirror. It shows us things in our lives that are not as they ought to be. And we can make changes. It's spirit and life. It's our spiritual food. It's bread. The Word of God is the standard of righteousness. It's the standard that we should pattern our lives by. It's trustworthy. Isn't that a blessing? there's really nothing else in this world that is as solid, as trustworthy as this book. It will never lie. Never. It's truth. It's wonderful. It bears the test of criticism and experience. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. It's been proven. That word tried or proven is what David used when King Saul tried to give him his armor when he went to fight the giant. And he said, I can't use this. I haven't proved it. I haven't gotten used to how it works. But the word of God is proven. You don't have to prove it. You can just believe it and see how it works in your life. Cleanses the life of youth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God convicts us of sin. The word of God also gives us peace. It inspires faith. We can read stories of how God's people called on him, they trusted him, and he answered them. And it builds our faith. And there's commandments in God's word to cast our care upon him, for he careth for you. And we can experience those things in our lives. It builds faith. It makes us free. It makes us wise. The word of God gives wisdom. It rejoices the heart. The spirit of the word gives life. And I thought about Romans there where it says that the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And so in our own strength, trying to live the word of God and God's commandments for us, it ministers death because we don't have it of ourselves. But if we're filled with God's spirit and we have the spirit of the word, it can be life to us. And the last one that I have here is that God's word is the standard for judging the world. We're going to be judged by this. This is the standard. This is will be the final authority, God's word. So I would like to go now to Psalm 119, and I would like for you to consider with me how often God's word is referred to in this psalm. And if I could point out to you, there is a word, or sometimes there's more than one, in every single verse that refers to God's word. And so I'd like to just give those to you before I read down through here, and you can be thinking about those things with me. One of them is, it refers to the law, to the law. And the definition there is just a precept or a statute, direction, instruction. The direction there would be also human or divine. A body of prophetic teaching. Yeah, so it's just, it's instruction, and in this chapter it specifically would be referring to God's instruction to us. The word testimonies is used. That is just simply a witness. And it's always of God's laws as a divine testimony. So this is what God wants for us. Ways is in there, and that's just simply referring to a road, which, think about the guidebook. Figuratively, in a course of life or a mode of action. So it's a road, it's a way that we're traveling. Precept is another word that's used, and that was mentioned in the, I believe, in the definition of law. Yeah, a precept or a statute, and that both of those words are also used. Precept is properly, it is appointed. That is a mandate of God. So this is what God wants us to do. The statute is an enactment or an appointment of time, space, quantity, labor, or usage. It's a commandment, decree, an ordinance. then the word commandment is used also frequently. And again, it mentions whether human or divine, which obviously here it's referring to a divine commandment. Judgments is used. It's properly a verdict. God's word gives judgments. And then just simply word is also used. By implication, it's a matter, as spoken of a thing, advice, an affair, answer, or anything. So those are the different words that you will find, at least one of them, in every verse. So let's just read down through here, Psalm 119, and I just like to let the Word of God speak to our hearts. There's a lot of things here that we could talk about, but Psalm 119, verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts, and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Deal bountifully with Thy servant, that I may live and keep Thy word. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not Thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto Thy judgments at all times." I can't imagine this person is actually longing for God's judgments. But this is what he says, the love that he had to God's word. Verse 21, "Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from Thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept Thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but Thy servant did meditate in Thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken Thou me according to Thy word. I have declared my ways, and Thou heardest me. Teach me Thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of Thy precepts. So shall I talk of Thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen Thou me according unto Thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me Thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto Thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of Thy commandments when Thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken thou me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me, because of the wicked, with that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Here's God's word. He chooses good friends, friends that love God's word. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Do we have that kind of attitude toward our trials? Here he's saying that trials help him learn God's ways. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. There, I guess it's thy faithfulness. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. That there is a profound verse. Keeping our feet from every evil way, that we can keep God's word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Do we hate vain thoughts, useless thoughts, and love God's word? Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation, and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Don't we see that in our society? They have made void God's law. Verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold upon me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. He's staying awake at night to meditate in God's word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Think about that. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You don't want to be offended? Love God's law. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." There's just numerous reoccurring themes here in this. One of the things that stands out to me is how often he mentions, "with my whole heart," with everything that he has, with all. He wants to learn God's law. He desires it. I'm not sure who wrote this, but whether it was David or who it was, but the psalmist just had a yearning and a desire for God's law. He loved it. And I see there that I missed a few of the words. I said, you know, those words you can find in all the verses. There's a few words that I missed there, but just some of those statements that he makes just really challenge me. I'd just like to leave that with us here this morning of what is God's word in your life? Is it precious? Do we long for it? So yeah. Let's just remember the Bible. It's a guidebook, a mirror, a microscope, a lamp, a telescope, a volume of fine poetry, a package of old letters, a few biographies, a book of Psalms, a sword, a hammer, and a set of books that we can study. That's God's word, and that's not a complete list. That's only the beginning. I guess my desire is just to inspire us to study God's word, to make it precious in our hearts and in our lives. So yeah, may the Lord help us.